when you are lending to a business, you know that you're taking a risk. It's a loan, it's not a donation, but we are with you 50%, 50%, meaning that if there will be a default, and I want to say we have hundreds of businesses that already received loans and there aren't any defaults yet. Yes, it's young. Yes, we have to have patience. We're only running for the past year and a half, but there aren't any defaults yet. But we do have these funds to know that if there will be a default, we'll be there together with our impact lenders and putting in 50% of that default for them to receive at least 50% of what they put in.
Nama Orr, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Thank you so much for being here with me. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I think I'm okay with everything. Under the circumstances, I'm doing okay.
Yes, and the answer we're all accustomed to giving here over these last few months, unfortunately. But today we're here to talk about something really exciting, a problem space that you're passionate about, and Spark IL, the organization that you are the CEO of, looking at peer-to-peer, looking at the intersection of peer-to-peer, Israel. You know, there's a lot of different moving pieces that I'm really excited about, all of them separately, but you're combining them into one organization and one vision. So I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that, but also your own journey, and then that of Spark IL as an organization beyond the problem space. So again, Nama, thank you for being here. And before we even get started about anything, tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, who are you, and what do you really care about?
So I think the most appropriate thing to say these days, I'm a mother of four, and I have my two eldest sons are in Gaza for the past almost 3 months. So I have, I would say, sleepless nights. I think that's what the most is how I can characterize how I am. I'm very, very, very proud of them. But as a mother, I'm also worried. But I try to keep myself very, very busy. And luckily, I have an amazing, amazing position and job. None of them I call that. I feel like I'm a candy store because everything I do is really what I love doing. So I can just dive into it most of the day, besides the fact that I also have two daughters that need me and a husband and friends, and I volunteer and I sit on boards. But at the end of the day, I think that at this time, everything that's happening in this country and around the world with the Jewish people, that's something that is constantly on my mind. I carry this with me all the time. I go every Saturday evening to Tel Aviv to be with the families of the hostages. I just feel they need our support as much as we can. And I'll even want to mention that person that started Spark IL, that put all together the technology for Spark IL, is John Paulin. That his son Hirsch and Rachel's son Hirsch is a hostage for 107 days already in Gaza. And I just want to send here our prayers for all the hostages to come home really quickly and safely. And especially to John and Rachel, that Hirsch will come home to them.
You know, hopefully, this is going to air just a couple of weeks. So I'm deeply optimistic and hopeful that that by then he's already back.
I pray so hard. Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, what this whole world is that Spark IL is involved in. You know, how do you define it? You know, how did you even get to it?
So there are a few problems that we are sitting out to try to help in this world. I would start by saying that one of the issues that we are dealing with is fair credit for very small businesses in Israel. Small businesses are comprise about 97% of the businesses in Israel. It's not that different around the world because small businesses are at the end of the base economy of a country. But when you look at the credit that they receive at banks, we're talking about 16% only. What we are doing at Spark is even the 16% is also reduced by, because we are helping small businesses that are riskier, that the banks are not willing to help. They can be businesses of marginalized communities. They can be businesses from the periphery. They can be social businesses. And these businesses many times are overlooked by the bank or traditional banking, I would say. And we are here to see how we can help them, how we can help these businesses thrive. How can we help them at the end of the day bring food to the table? Because at the end, a business, a small business, is a family, is a community. And we understand that having small businesses thrive is a goal that is super important for the economy of Israel. We'll get to the war in a second, but this started way before the war. It's not something that we decided to happen since the war. That's one of the problems that we're trying to help out here at Spark. The second problem is Jewish engagement. We see anti-Semitism rising. We see the fact that younger generations are less connected to Israel. We see that there are many, many middlemen, I would say, in this connection as well. And what we're doing at Spark is the peer-to-peer lending that you mentioned is all about Jewish engagement, all about engaging next generation to Israel, to help them understand that there's a new way of philanthropy. It doesn't have to be the traditional philanthropy. It doesn't have to be just to donate large sums. We're looking at impact lending, which is something new that we're trying to bring into the field and saying you can be an investor, but it's not that you're going to get any interest on your investment. So it's all about social impact lending.
So does it make sense to say that the impact lending is the solution to the problem that you've attributed, that said, you know, we have this line of businesses, they operate under certain conditions, under certain geographies, in certain problem spaces. There are reasons why the traditional banking mechanisms perhaps are not relevant for them. And I'd love to hear even just a little bit about, you know, what are these main criteria? I have some intuition about that, but I'm curious to hear what you've understood, and that the way to solve that is through the more social side and peer-to-peer lending. Is that the right framing of it?
It is. I think there can be different solutions, but at the end of the day, because these businesses are risky, and since we all need them, the solution of peer-to-peer lending is definitely an optional solution. There could also be investment. There could be many other things, but at the end of the day, they don't exist. And we've learned from Kiva. Kiva was the model that started in the U.S. 17 years ago, all about impact lending. And Kiva is a platform that has been running for 17 years, helping out small businesses and private people in developing countries, doing very much like what we're doing, which is doing it all interest-free. And since Kiva does not operate in Israel, since Israel is not a developing country, the whole idea was, how do we create a model that is relevant to Israel and can be Kiva for Israel? And we call it Spark IL, but it also takes into consideration not only impact lending, it takes into consideration, how do we create a stronger engagement for next generation to Israel and to Israelis specifically? Because when we'll go into a little bit about what Spark IL is, you can, at the end, the point is to help out a specific person that you want to invest in that impact lending. So you're helping out Sarah, you're helping out Jamal, you're helping out Natasha, you're helping out these specific people. When you go on the platform, you can decide who you want to help and how much you want to help them. And that's how you decide who you want to lend to, and you'll receive your money back. So that's a new model that we're bringing into the market, I would say, but all doing good. No one's getting any interest. No one's taking any commission of these loans. Everything is going one to the other, 100%. And it's just, we are a mediator of connecting the ones that need and the ones that wants to help. And we are creating a marketplace just to bring them to the same place in order to help each other.
Phenomenal. And I think a main question that stems from this, and by the way, this is all, you know, really, really amazing. I mean, this is just, you know, truly doing good and allowing people to support people. And not just donate or contribute, and it's not a donation, it's a lending, so there is So you're doing it in a highly personalized way through choosing the things that you deeply care about. I'm curious about the context of de-risk. Obviously, every lend is not risk-free. I'm curious how you've experienced this concept of risk in the social lending environment that I think, you know, transcends beyond the Israeli nature here. And, you know, what is the play that risk has in your ecosystem, in your model?
So that's an excellent question. I should say at this point that we are an organization, we're a nonprofit organization that we Sparkle has two owners. One is the Jewish agency, and I will give here credit to Amira, that is the CEO. Amira is the CEO of the Jewish agency. Sparkle is her idea, initiated in her mind 7-8 years ago, and is now coming to life. And her second owner is the Ogin Group. Ogin has been a social bank. They are the Israel Free Loan Association for the past 30 years. They have 30 years of experience in underwriting. So we are all our outsourcing of all the underwriting we're doing to the businesses is done within Ogin. So the expertise is there, and we're learning more and more with the unique businesses that we're bringing to the table. I will say that, yes, of course, there are risks taken here. I will also say that we approve only 40% of the loan of the requests that come through, because we check to see a few things. One, are they able to give back the loan? If they're not able to give that back the loan, and we are a sort of bank at the end of the day, we have a license from the Israel Market Authority. So if someone will not give back their loan, this is not a social venture that we're trying to help, because at the end of the day, they need to give back a loan, and we don't want to bring them down even more and not being able to take other loans from other places. So one, we check if they have ability to pay back their loan. We also check to see that the purpose that they're asking for the loan also makes sense, what they need it, the amounts, to be sure that they're going to good use, and they're not asking just for money to replace money that they are getting interest from. That's not the point of the loans. We want the businesses to grow with these loans. We want the businesses to expand, and not for them just to change loans with other loans, since this one is interest-free. And the third, I also want to say, we are helping businesses with a sort of philanthropic money. So we want to be sure that these businesses cannot receive these loans from other places, that they, if they can receive a loan with interest, since they're strong enough, where if they have money sitting in the bank and they don't want to use it, just if they want interest-free loans, they are also not relevant to be Sparkle businesses that will receive loans from us. So the underwriting goes, it's a very, very thorough process that we check all the background needed. We have all the information that they need to apply with, all their bank information. So we go through it very, very seriously. And I also want to say that we have raised already 5 million shekels. I'll try to translate that in a second to dollars. But for
1.5.
Yeah. So these are risk mitigation cushions, meaning that the end of the day, when you are lending to a business, you know that you're taking a risk. It's a loan, it's not a donation. But we are with you 50%, meaning that if there will be a default, and I want to say we have hundreds of businesses that already received loans and there aren't any defaults yet. Yes, it's young. Yes, we have to have patience. We're only running for the past year and a half, but there aren't any defaults yet. But we do have these funds to know that if there will be a default, we'll be there together with our impact lenders and putting in 50% of that default for them to receive at least 50% of what they put in. And that's the mechanism that we're building. And because, again, this is a new social startup, this is what it is. We'll learn as we move forward, and I know, and all the time update and understand really the needs and what's happening. I think it's important also to say that when someone lends to a business, they receive monthly payments. Business has up to 60 months to pay their loan. And once you lend to a business, let's say you lend to a business $60, you decide you want to help Xavia. She has a has a barber shop, and she, Natanya, she's a new immigrant and she's amazing. And you want to lend $60 to help her with her loan. you will receive back $1 every month out over the 60 months that she brings, she has to pay back her loan. Okay, with the money that accumulates in your account, you can then either relend that amount as you're going to another business. So the first initial dollars can go a long way to another business and they come back into another business, or you can decide to withdraw that amount because it was a loan and it wasn't a donation. So what we are purposely doing and planning on doing even more is telling you, okay, you helped a new immigrant. We have a new immigrant on the platform. Do you want to help her as well? Do you want to transfer the funds that you already received in order to help another business and really see how we can shift the first lending, the first, I would say, act of giving, what we call it lending, and to see how we can just mobilize more and more.
That's amazing. That's very, very cool. I'll share briefly, because I had an idea that I was thinking for quite some time back in the university. There were some students that couldn't afford the bicycles. They were on scholarship. They couldn't afford bicycles to go to class. One of them was one of the most brilliant computer scientists and engineers that I saw. And he would come late to class every single day. And I got so upset and I said, why are you coming late? You're one of the best. You came all the way to Stanford. You know, why are you late? And he said that he doesn't have money for a bike and it's a large campus. And I was thinking, how is that possible that some people with extraordinary potential don't have the capacity because he doesn't have the right social credits? He doesn't have the right credit score and ability to get a loan right from the bank. And what we actually ended up doing was getting a group of us together, friends, providing him the money to buy a bike and some other things. Now, instead of expecting to get it back, what we did was we agreed that when he goes out and he already had offers from some amazing companies to work for, once he makes a certain amount of money a year, he'll need to find two students who can't afford bikes and he'll need to duplicate the agreement. And we said, you know, maybe in 20 years we'll have a tree here.